homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. The Buddha said, our essence of mind is intrinsically pure and luminous. But obscured by the defilements of greed, hate, and delusion. Through the practice of mindfulness, as I described yesterday, through the practice of mindfulness and the precepts in daily life, we break up the obscuring defilements. Through sitting still in meditation, we sweep away, as it were, the broken fragments. Until we are able to encounter the luminous mind. This is what is called the most excellent mirror samadhi. Allowing things to come and go as if reflected in an excellent mirror. The reflections do not harm or impede or affect the mirror. Of course, before Reverend Master Peggy Kennett went to Japan, she was familiar with meditation. As a matter of fact, she was teaching the Zen class for the London Buddhist Society. In Japan, they introduced her to what meditation actually means in the actual training of daily life. When her teachers in Japan were explaining Dogen Zenji's universal recommendation for meditation for all people, which we call the rules for meditation, they were very much concerned with conveying to her what this was actually all about. It was she, as far as I know, who rendered the passage about the pith instructions of what Zazen Rules is all about, the actual center of the text. It was she who rendered it. Do not try to think. Do not try not to think. Just sitting with no deliberate thought is the important aspect of serene reflection meditation. When she showed this way of rendering it to Kōhō Zenji, he said something along the lines of, Yes, that is what it means. But not everybody is going to thank you for clarifying it in that way. Many people wish for the essence of meditation and training to remain somehow mysterious. Sometimes the motivation, and sometimes the motivation for this, is because if something is mysterious, if we fail to engage with it successfully, we can then blame the mysteriousness for our lack of being able to penetrate it. This way of doing things, of course, has nothing to do with the Buddha Dharma. There have been various English translations of the rules for meditation, of this particular passage. And a number of the more popular have been Think the Unthinkable, or Think About Not Thinking, or Think Not Thinking. Such a way of rendering Dogen's words is utterly useless for practice. Dogen wanted to be understood. He was not trying to be obscure. It is important to remember this when reading anything in the Zen tradition. The people writing originally would have wanted to be understood, and they would have been understood by the people around them. They were not trying to be obscure and mysterious, and this is important to remember. By rendering it in this way, Reverend Master gives the game away, if I can put it that way. One of the things frequently said to her when she was in Japan is that it's all very mysterious. Western people can never possibly understand it. Japanese culture is too sophisticated. While she was there, the abbot of Myoshinji, one of the chief Rinzai monasteries, was asked by an American reporter, can a Westerner actually ever understand Zen? And he said, no, oh no, the Westerner can never understand the full subtleties of Zen as transmitted in Japan. And the reporter then responded, well, then why do you hold these sesshins then and invite them to come? River Master Jiu always spoke of this response of the journalist with great admiration for being so direct. When we enter the practice of meditation, we do not enter like flying through the clouds, riding a dragon. We enter at the mud level of the lotus root. We enter at the place where we are. This is one of the reasons, again, why our tradition is called Farmer's Zen. This, of course, goes back to the very beginning. Monks wear kesas. Those kesas are made of cloth overlapping each other in stripes, pieces of cloth overlapping each other in stripes. The pattern is of farmers' fields growing rice. It is to remind monks that they depend upon the generosity of others. They depend upon the generosity of people, hardworking people, for their support. This encourages the life of gratitude. There are four essentials to the Soto Zen, what is called the Soto Zen tradition. The first one is all beings are at heart, in essence, Buddhas. This is the same thing as to say the essence of mind is intrinsically pure. This is why Dogen says, do not worry, it appears naturally. When you let go of greed, hate, and delusion, the luminous mind naturally appears. The luminous mind is not the product of anything. It is not the product of any drug or substance. It is not the product of any technique. It is not the product of any convoluted means of thought. It is just that it appears when we train our selfishness, when we train our greed, hate, and delusion. Meditation, as practiced in our tradition, is not something static or nor is it a particular state of mind. Nor do you have to be perfect to practice it. Nor do you need to have all your life all arranged properly to practice it. Nor do you have to have spent years in therapy in order to practice it. Nor do you have to have university degrees, nor even able to be to read and write in order to practice it. Dogen says, there is no reason why we cannot understand and practice this. He also says, do not strive for a particular frame of mind. When the mind wanders off into will, consciousness, memory, perception, understanding, etc., you let go. When the mind starts to obsess in any particular direction, you let go. As the instructions in meditation also say, just for this moment, put aside your plans. Just for this moment, just for this half an hour, 40 minutes, put aside your regrets over the past. Just for this moment, just for this period, put aside your concerns about the present. One of the misleading things about the way Zen in particular is written about is the use of the term dwelling in the present moment. The Buddha's instructions for meditation do not talk about such things. It says, let go of the past, let go of the present, let go of the future. The present moment lasts less than a split second. How can you possibly live in it? Rather, let go of it. A good proportion of rules for meditation is about telling people not to worry. This meditation is not done in stages. It is not about accomplishment. It is simply the entrance to carefree peace. When we train and enlighten ourselves through meditation and the keeping of the precepts and mindfulness in daily life, we become thoroughly wise. This wisdom is not a personal possession of ours, even though we can make free use of it. And the koan appears naturally in daily life. If you become in this way utterly free, you will be as the water wherein the dragon dwells, or as the mountain whereon the tiger roams. Again, people not understanding the text in the context of practice keep on insisting on translating this as if one becomes a tiger or a dragon. But in fact, it's not that way at all. One becomes as the water through which something greater than oneself moves. One becomes as the mountain Dogen says, you cannot understand this with the judgmental mind. You cannot understand meditation through the mind that picks and chooses. The third Chinese ancestor says, this is not difficult. Just give up having to have things your way. Just give up the endless picking and choosing based upon your preferences. Dogen says, it is not possible to understand training and enlightenment by supernatural means or through speech and vision. He says, such truth is beyond, completely beyond all personal opinions. Do not worry about who knows and does not know. Really, none of your business. There is only one thing: to train yourself for to do so is enlightenment. To train then becomes your ordinary daily life. Dogen says, the essence of this has been preserved by the Buddhas and ancestors and has come down to us. If you practice in this way, then all activity can become permeated with pure meditation. There are thousands of ways of training the self. But pure meditation must be done as part of it. Dogen says, already you are in possession of what you need to train. The luminous mind. Don't waste time with this and that. You can possess the authority of Buddha. Of what use is it to waste time merely enjoying the fleeting world? Amphan Bali, who was a courtesan in the time of the Buddha, I've mentioned before, and was exceedingly lovely. When she became old and renounced the world, she composed a meditation on this. And she says things like, once heads turned whenever I came by. Now nobody bothers to look. This is the way it is. This is the truth spoken by the truth-sayer, the Buddha. This body is as transient as dew on the grass. We don't encounter dew on the grass like our ancestors did. That brief wetness that disappears. That water that is perfumed by the flowers on which it rests. That evaporates with the sun. Thus shall ye think of all this fleeting world. A bubble in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud. Dogen says, you have what you need in front of you. You have been introduced to an excellent method of training. You are capable of understanding and entering into this. Don't spend so much time in rubbing only a part of the elephant. The Buddha told a story of blind men who the local king brought an elephant to them and asked them to describe the elephant. And each blind man, grasping a part of the elephant, took that part for the whole of the elephant, and eventually they fell to quarreling. The one who grasped the elephant's leg saying the elephant is like a pillar, the one who grasped the elephant's ear saying the elephant is very like a leaf. Do not waste time over arguing or thinking about these various things, these various differences. As Dogen says, look inwards. You can advance directly along the road that leads to the mind. Therefore, respect those who have reached the goal of goallessness. Become yourself one with the wisdom of the Buddhas. Make visible the wisdom of the ancestors. Then Dogen makes his promise. If you do these things for some time, you will become as herein described. And then the treasure house will open naturally, and you will enjoy it fully. As a result of the way Reverend Master Jiu was taught in Japan, we practice meditation and training in this particular way. Not something at a distance from our daily lives that we only do when we're able to attend a retreat or when we're able to sit down for a period of time. not something far from us. Not something simply for those advanced, per se, in practice. When Shakyamuni Buddha was alive, all sorts of people, from those who cleaned out latrines to kings, encountered the Dharma, practiced the Dharma, and realized the Dharma for themselves. This is not an illusion nor a fairy tale of long ago. Now, in this very life, we can know this. We can know our own luminous mind. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.